An American Humvee armoured vehicle flipped onto its roof by the force of a roadside bomb and in flames. CBS cameraman Paul Douglas and soundman James Brolin were killed while on patrol with US troops in Baghdad. The pair, both British, were embedded with the American military on a brief assignment. Their American colleague, correspondent Kimberly Dozier, is in a critical condition. More than 70 journalists have now been killed in Iraq since the US-led invasion in 2003. This was just one of a series of attacks in Iraq on Monday. A car bomb aimed at an Iraqi army patrol killed at least 12 people in northern Baghdad. Most of the dead were students. In the small town of Khalis, 80 kilometers north of the capital, 11 people died when a bomb exploded on a bus taking laborers to work. The death toll for the day, well over 40. And pressure mounting on the country's new coalition government to agree on interior and defence ministers who can tackle the relentless violence. Andy Stenton, Reuters.
Carry the bodies of Palestinian militants killed in fighting with Israeli troops in Gaza. Israeli forces have engaged in their first gun battle with militants in Gaza since their withdrawal last summer. The assault is in response to militant rocket attacks on southern Israel that have caused damage, but so far no casualties.
The fight and war against terror continues in order to prevent suicide bombing and in order to prevent shooting of rockets on Israeli villages and towns.
Earlier, Israeli troops shot and killed three Palestinian militants in separate pre-dawn raids in the West Bank. Several bystanders were wounded. Paul Chapman, Reuters. Baghdad's tennis stadium is in mourning after the murders of the Iraqi national coach and two of his players. Athletes have become the latest target in another sinister twist to the violence in Iraq. Earlier, 15 members of a taekwondo team were abducted. Iraqi Olympic official Tiras Odisho Anwaya, who was kidnapped last year and freed after a ransom was paid, appealed for their safe return.
These are our boys, and these are our children, and they've been training very hard to represent Iraq in the international arena.
At least three other people linked to sport have been killed in previous incidents. Iraq's athletes spent years isolated by UN sanctions and in fear of torture or abuse from Saddam Hussein's son Uday. Now their hopes of a bright new future ahead are overshadowed by the threat of death or abduction. Paul Chapman, Reuters.
Tries to douse the latest flames of violence in East Timor. Gangs went on a fresh spree of arson and looting as President Xanana Gusmão announced he'd taken charge of the nation's security and made a bid for calm.
Appeal to the people to surrender voluntarily the weapons, the ammunition, the grenades, the military equipment.
Many blame Prime Minister Mari Alkatiri for sparking the current wave of unrest when he sacked a group of protesting soldiers last month. The Red Cross says more than 40,000 have been displaced by the violence and food shortages were being felt in capital Dili. A multinational peacekeeping force of 2,500 is now in place to help restore order after the country appealed for international support. Despite their help, smoke continues to billow above several of Dili's neighbourhoods as gangs dodge peacekeepers in an arson's trail. The unrest and requests for help are both major embarrassments for the government of the world's newest independent state. An election is due to be held early next year, but many Timorese and diplomats believe Alkatiri, for one, cannot last that long. Michelle Kalal Al-Khoury, Reuters.
The face of it, East Timor's capital looks calm. Compared to the gang violence of the past week, there is now a fragile peace. The plumes of smoke from burning buildings and tires underscore that fragility. A multinational peacekeeping force of 2,500 is now in place as the government continues crisis talks. Gangs allied to feuding factions of the armed forces went on the rampage after 600 soldiers, nearly half the national army, were sacked last month. Their crime was to protest publicly at what they say amounts to discrimination against some recruits. East Timor's president wants the police and military disarmed and the sacked troops reinstated while an investigation takes place. The prime minister, who sacked the soldiers in the first place, wants the rebels disarmed and the rest of the security forces back on duty. Residents of the capital, Dili, are just hoping the security situation will improve enough for them to return to their homes. Paul Chapman, Reuters. The amount of foreign aid for Java Island's earthquake survivors is moving up another gear, but many are still getting by on food they managed to salvage from the rubble of their homes. These people are living on instant noodles, cookies and bottled water.
It's not enough, because we have a lot of children. There are 33 of us.
Field hospitals have been set up to cope with an estimated 20,000 people injured in the quake. More than 5,400 are now reported killed. Among them was Jailani's daughter.
My daughter died. She was already outside the house, but she realized her son was still inside, and when she went back in, she was hit by a part of the wall that fell.
Relatives dug frantically but couldn't save her. All Jailani can do now is rescue what he can of his family's shattered existence and hope that help will come soon. Paul Chapman, Reuters.
Congo's five-year war was officially declared over in 2003, but the fighting goes on. Battles between rebels and renegade militia are commonplace. The United Nations has stepped up its offensive against militia groups this year, but the 17,000-strong force, the largest peacekeeping mission in the world, has found the going tough. During an operation on Sunday, seven Nepalese UN peacekeepers were taken hostage, their captors reportedly demanding a ransom.
We still have seven Nepalese soldiers unaccounted for, and we're trying to determine with our troops on the ground the fate of these elements while still missing.
Ironically, the United Nations celebrated Peacekeeping Day on Monday to mark the efforts of its blue-helmeted peacekeepers in trouble spots across the globe. Andy Stenton, Reuters.
Daewoo founder Kim Woo-chung fled South Korea 7 years ago as his empire struggled with debts of more than $75 billion. Almost a year to the day he returned, saying he wanted to make his peace with the past, he's landed a 10-year jail sentence, suspended until July while he's treated for a heart condition. A court in Seoul has found him guilty of fraud, fiddling the books and embezzling cash from the giant he created. He's also been ordered to hand over a mammoth $22 billion. Daewoo's involved in everything from car making to shipbuilding to electronics. Kim is not alone. Several top executives of South Korea's major family-owned conglomerates have been the target of criminal investigations. Paul Chapman, Reuters.
Days ago, Australian climber Lincoln Hole was reported dead by his Everest teammates. Today, all could see he was very much alive, if not yet altogether well.
He's got some frostbite, four fingers on the left hand, four on the right, and a little bit on the stump and a little bit on the toe.
Hole's fellow climbers left him for dead as they descended Everest's summit, but he was actually suffering from acute altitude sickness. An American mountaineer found him and raised the alarm. A rescue team of around a dozen Sherpas and a doctor brought him to a camp on the mountain where he was treated for frostbite and altitude sickness. Doctors say it may take several days before Hull, one of Australia's most experienced climbers, can talk in detail of his ordeal. Michelle Kalal Al-Khoury, Reuters.
Face, a warden at Rwanda's Akagera National Park, is on the trail of one of his elephants. Makware, a 38-year-old bull, was forced out of the park by younger, more aggressive elephants 2 weeks ago. Since then, he's wreaked havoc, eating acres of farmers' valuable crops, even destroying their homes.
He's been here since yesterday and has destroyed everything. He never stopped eating. Now I'll die from hunger.
Eventually, Makware emerges from the reeds. Boniface cracks open a bottle of the elephant's favourite tipple, banana beer. They share it.
Makware is angry with people because last night they attacked him with spears. We'll travel back to the park, but only during the night, so we don't meet anyone.
One more banana beer for the road, and the pair set off for home. Andy Stenton, Reuters.
At the age of 29, Germany's captain Michael Ballack has matured into the sort of midfielder every coach wants. The influence of the man born and groomed in the old East Germany may not always be obvious over the whole 90 minutes. But there is no player quite like him when the clock is ticking down and nothing but a goal will do, says Stefan Heinisch, his first coach from Chemnitz, formerly known as Karl Marx City, where Ballack started to play at the age of 6.
He is a natural talent. He could juggle the ball without dropping it from the start. You could see how he moved with the ball and know that there was a future in the game for him. His case was very clear.
Germany's outstanding player is now heading for a new challenge and will join the English champions Chelsea from next season.
He has always been 2 to 3 years ahead of the others in his development. He would decide games even if all the other players were a year older. For this, the others always respected him, and because of his performance, he never had a problem integrating.
After missing the last World Cup final because of a second yellow card in the semis, the German captain hopes to go all the way this time. The sky's the limit for Michael Ballack, and maybe one of Europe's most dangerous midfielders will even score in the final. That's at least what the Germans hope their star player will do. Merlin Kuhne, Reuters, Berlin.
You don't have to be mad, but it helps. Roll a cheese down a hill with a sheer 1-in-2 gradient and chase after it. They came from America, Australia, New Zealand. The winners proving there's obviously method in their particular form of madness. Welshman Jason Crowther repeated last year's victory.
Certainly done less no damage or anything, but it felt rougher. I don't know. I managed to stay on my feet pretty well, actually. I was quite surprised at that.
Kiwi Dion Carter completed an impressive hat-trick of wins.
It was good, actually, it wasn't too bad. No bruises, no scratches. Alright.
No injuries at all?
No.
What was your technique?
Just try to stay on my feet as long as I could.
That's easier said than done, and medical teams are kept busy. They slipped, somersaulted and bounced their way to the bottom, bruised and broken, but definitely not cheesed off. Andy Stenton, Reuters.